Hey, it's Jeff, and welcome to episode 56 of Scale Your Charisma. We're thrilled to be here with you today, and I can't wait to tee up this awesome interview with our great friend, Phil Gerbyshack. We're riding the fringes on this one of content that's not suitable for work, but we managed to keep it clean. So Phil's an awesome guy, we have a great time, and as always, we just cover three questions: how to break the ice, how to build trust and credibility, and how to become a trusted advisor, and taking our social selling strategies to the next level. So here's the interview with Phil. Thanks, and I will catch you after the conversation. I'm on my belly full. I will not
go to my grave with this inside me. How are you today? How's it going?
I am awesome, Jeff. It is so great to see your face again, man. It's been a little while.
I know. It's great to see you and your orange glasses, Phil. I love them. I love them. So tell us about yourself and your orange glasses, Phil. Share with the audience a little bit of background on Phil.
Yeah, so absolutely. So I went in the Navy out of high school. I'm from a little town of 996 people, and my job was to deliver email by hand. That was really my job, honest to God. So when I went in the Navy, I didn't know that I needed glasses. And coming from a little town with a poor family, I don't think I ever even got tested for glasses. So I went in the Navy, and I got these glasses.
Nice. I like
them. Aren't they nice? So, yeah. So they're called ECGs. They're birth control glasses. And that's because, you know, these really turn you into the ladies' man.
Right, right. So, I think you could definitely score with those glasses. No doubt.
Absolutely. Yep. I think so. So I wore these, and I hated them, right? I hated them. And then I decided to become a stockbroker. I didn't have any glasses, so I would like this. And then I moved into IT, and my vision got worse. I became a VP of IT, and I said, you know, I need glasses. Well, the BCGs aren't going to work, so I said, okay, well, let's get some cool specs.
Ooh, cool specs, Phil.
And these are okay. I was serious, Phil.
Yeah, very serious, Phil.
Very serious, very studious. You know, they're nice. And unfortunately, I actually ran into one guy who had these. Darren Waxman had this exact pair of glasses. So I was in corporate. I'm like, huh, okay, well, they really didn't like, they liked these glasses, but I think if I'd have went bolder, they'd have been scared. Because I'm an old guy. And I said, you know, all right, I gave my 2-year notice in 2010 or 2008. I left in 2010. And I said, you know, these just, they're not bold enough. They're not me. Right. I mean, I love bright colors. That's me. I'm like, huh, what else can I do? So I shopped and I shopped. And I'm really fortunate. My vision hasn't changed in 15 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm running my own agency. I'm teaching people how to use LinkedIn. I'm helping them social sell more effectively. And I said, you know, I got to go big or go home. Now I can go like this, but there's nothing remarkable about this at all. It's right. Okay.
Other than your glowing personality.
Well, that's true. But if you don't get close enough to me, I don't get a chance to glow on you.
That's right.
Right? So I said, you know, I'm going to go bold. So I got those glasses, bang. And now, you know, honestly, it's an icebreaker. It's really meant to connect to other people. And I love orange. I mean, frankly, I'm a little bit colorblind, Jeff. I'm this much colorblind. I'm red, green, shade blind. So I can't see everything perfectly. So I can see that these are orange. I can see my shirt is green. But, you know, the stuff on the fringes, I don't see. So I use my disability, my disadvantage to my advantage. I have bright glasses so you can see me, and I wear my glasses so I can see you. And that really helps with my clients too.
Absolutely. And it's glowing while you grow, right? Your glowing personality, your glowing glasses, helping everyone grow. And I think that's amazing. In fact, you know, Phil, you and I have known each other a few years now, and I really enjoyed meeting you. And this was at LinkedIn Sales Connect in 2015. And I, out of a sea of people, I spotted you. And I knew that guy has a very special contribution to make. And we built a really fast relationship. And I've enjoyed keeping up with you ever since. So, and that's why you're here today, because I know you have a great depth of knowledge on three areas of focus we have on this podcast: how to help sales leaders and sales professionals break the ice, build trust and credibility, and become a trusted advisor. And I know you're an expert in this space. So, Phil, let's jump in. You know, let's take question number one. How do you recommend that sales leaders and sales professionals break the ice these days, especially in an online social selling world?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's what many salespeople struggle with. So they do nothing, Okay. So the way to break the ice, though, is first to start listening.
Mm.
So I've got glasses, I can see, but I've got two eyes and I've got two ears and one mouth. So I can watch with my eyeballs, I can listen with my earballs, and then I can talk a little bit and engage in conversation. And the first thing that you do is, what are people sharing? What are they talking about? What are they doing? If you're a circle, you're people first. So circle the prospect. That means find them everywhere on social, right? That's the first icebreaker. Hey, what's Jeff talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then to break the ice further, then you expand that. Maybe in their company or in their industry or in their neighborhood, right? Where do they live? And then lastly, you break the ice in the industry. And as you do that, that means you're paying attention to them. You're not selling. You're paying attention because people love people that pay attention to them. So breaking the ice is as simple as paying attention and then using your mouth, mentioning their name, sharing their work, and being really intentional about being with them.
I like that. And you're just literally trying to build a relationship, it sounds, right?
Absolutely, right? Social media is not for closing.
Right.
Let's be really clear. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, boy, I wish Phil would post this crappy thing about selling his stuff. And I say that not saying that my stuff is crappy, but saying if people don't know me, why would I post to the public some buy my stuff, click my crap, when I could instead have a relationship and make that really relevant?
That's awesome. So it sounds like the relationship is driven on their agenda, not your agenda. And that's what's most important. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, customers would rather you drop dead than do anything for you. But if you're good to them and you do things for them first, now you have an opportunity to ask for something second. So it's all about psychological reciprocity, but it's about being genuine too, right? This isn't manipulative. This is not, hey, Jeff, I shared your stuff, so dude, you should share mine. No. That's not how this works.
Right.
But just mentally, people do keep score. You don't have to like it, but that's been happening for years. My dad is still in my same little small town. How he breaks the ice face to face is he says their name. Hey, Jeff, how are you? That seems so simple, but we don't do that. We automate it, and you can tell that it's not real. It'd be like if I said, hey, Jeff, how are you? And I kept running down the street. He'd be like, whoa, hey, what? I heard my name, but I don't hear anything else.
Right. That, I love that. You're right. And we live in this high-speed world where this automation, it's so volumetric. And once again, slow down, get personal. I love that advice.
Thanks.
That's great. So then let's keep moving. Let's jump into the next question. So we've established the fact that breaking the ice is most important and using all of your senses, right? Especially those ears are very, very important. So once you break that ice, once you establish that relationship, how do you build trust and credibility? How do you get that ongoing, communication strategy going?
Yeah. So first, think about what assets you have. So you might have, if your marketing team puts together stuff, if you put it together yourself, you need to take an inventory. What do I have that's of any value to anybody that I might want to sell to? So that's the start, right? And then we share some of that. But then step two, and probably the most important one, is we curate other things that can be valuable. And that could be, again, think about our circles, could be about our prospect, maybe something they shared, could be about our prospect's company, could be about our prospect's city or state, and that could be about our prospect's country or industry. Those are the things that we need to do, and we need to be really deliberate about sharing them. If you're on LinkedIn, I encourage you, share 3 or 4 pieces of news a day, not because everybody's going to see every one of them, but because if you're valuable, even if people don't click the link, they see your picture and they're like, oh, there's Phil again. Oh,
right.
Look, Jeff. Hey, isn't that neat? Right? Oh, he must know what he's talking about. And frankly, most people don't know who writes the articles you share.
Right.
They don't. They think you wrote them. So you look like a freaking genius. And then the other way is, how you build trust and credibility is you ask them for advice.
Mm-hmm.
So I want help from my customer. And again, you have to be genuine though. So many salespeople, their ask for help is really nothing more than a subtle way of saying, let me stick my tongue down your throat and make you vomit with my sales pitch.
Right, right.
That's not how this works, right? So ask a real question. So if you, again, if you've been listening, you hear some of the problems in the industry. If you listen to your marketing team, you hear some of the problems that your marketing team is trying to solve for. So ask the question. So how are y'all solving for this? And not, and then don't follow it immediately up with, blah, we did a white paper on this. Instead, have a dialogue. Okay, that's great. So what are you working on? How's that working? And only then do you ask to change the channel.
Wow.
Ask for the email. Do you ask for that? Now, that being said, once you're connected on LinkedIn, you have their email address.
Expand upon that, because that's not commonly known. So you're saying that you can actually access the email address.
Absolutely. So LinkedIn allows you to, first of all, you can export your contacts, your connections on LinkedIn. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you go to people's profile, you can see the email address that they used to sign into LinkedIn. So use it. Now, do not export connections and add them to marketing automation, because that's not relationship. That's not, right? But I see that. I did engagement this week. I had a guy, step one, connect. Step two, export connections. Step three, throw them in marketing automation and let the marketing team sort it out.
Oh, talk away to burn that bridge. Wow.
No, we're connected. Please, God, do not add me to your list. No. Don't do that.
Right.
In fact, that is explicitly against the MailChimp terms of service. Other providers may not be as intentional about forbidding that. But I want you to think about this. You're at a networking event. You shake somebody's hand. And as soon as you get their business card, you hand it off to your assistant to add it to your marketing automation.
Don't do it. Oh, my gosh. Wow. We learned three very important things here. The serendipity of the stream counts, right? So just be in that stream. You know, how many times has it happened to you? You're posting something that's relevant, and someone has said, oh, yeah, Phil, I've been meaning to call him. Bang, you get that call, right?
Yep.
That's awesome. So that, ask for help, right? How do you build trust and credibility? You genuinely want to help somebody.
Yeah.
And then lastly, that is such an important key takeaway. Absolutely do not. It's different from the floor of the trade show, right? Where the expectation is you're going to get scanned and you're going into the database. But this is, once again, since we're in this for the long term, be very respectful with that contact information.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, even if you're focused on your quarter end, I get that, right? Mm-hmm. Salespeople, they're very focused on the quarter end. But I want you to think about this. If the way that you get a customer to buy from you is a lie, are they going to renew your product or service? Mm-hmm. Are they going to buy more?
No,
of course not, right? But they might need your product or service. But let's say, even, if you discount it, right? Oh, because you're a trusted LinkedIn connection, I'm going to give you 50% off of my product or service. Really? Is that really true? Because no, it's not. What's happened is your marketing team gave you permission to discount for everybody, and you're lying and saying that, oh, it's because we're on LinkedIn. No, it's because I need to make my number.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So just be honest. Now, that being said, right, we all know at your end, we do a lot of discounting. If you're in sales, that happens. That's cool, right? But that's because next year, I'm going to add more value to my product or service, not because I need to make my number. Now, you better talk to your product team about that. You better talk to your services team. You better, if it's just you, how are you going to be more valuable next year? Are you taking courses? How are you improving? Because I got to tell you, you know what? I read 1,000 blogs. I take probably $10,000 a year worth of training online to stay sharp and be the best trusted advisor I can. So when people ask me a question, I can give them an answer and my opinion on what that means to them. Are you investing, right? If you're a salesperson, you got a lot of downtime.
Right.
In between calls, right? Are you listening to audiobooks? Are you listening to podcasts like Jeff's podcast? You should be. Because if you're not, shame on you, man.
Right.
Right. Whoever you are, if you're listening to this, how many other podcasts are you subscribed to? You need to be sharpening, because otherwise your discounts are just hollow and people will wait you out. Oh, you're going to discount. They're like, yeah, Phil, he'll discount in December. Whenever his fiscal year end is, he'll discount. No, I won't. Unless I have more value to add. If I'm clearing something out, absolutely. Information's still valid. No problem. I've got a book that I published in 2006. You want a copy? It's $20, but I'll give it to you for 10 because I published it 11 years ago.
Right.
But I'm not giving you this year's stuff at a discount just because it's the end of quarter or the end of the year.
Right. So what you're saying is this transactional thinking does not transfer. The transactional thinking is very short term. However, to build that trust and credibility, trust transfers, just like knowledge transfers. I mean, that trust, you build it. And once again, if you're a sales leader and a sales professional and you're in this for the long term, I don't care if you're at company A or company B, you're going to inevitably run into that same person again. So that's such critical insight, such critical information, Phil.
Sure. Yeah. Remember, people don't leave their companies. They leave their bosses.
Mm.
So chances are you're going to bump into that person again because you're probably going to stay in the same industry. If you're selling software, I don't care who you're selling software to. Marketing is marketing. If you sell it to marketing people, you're going to bump into somebody who knows somebody because, hey, maybe they met each other at LinkedIn Sales Connect.
Right.
They didn't have to work together.
Right.
Do you know? Right. And now I say, hey, Jeff, I see you're connected to, you know, Brian Schmuckatelli. How is he? And you're like, dude, that guy yacked all over me. He's awful.
So clearly that's not the way to, you know, and this comes to our last part of the interview here. How do you become this trusted advisor, right? So you've already gotten into this topic of you become this trusted resource because you're taking the time to curate information and really share relevant articles, relevant insights. Tell me about a time where you've clearly become that trusted advisor. What's that feel like? How does that really benefit the relationship?
So I have one client that's an automotive remanufacturer. Okay, they're a good-sized company.
Mm-hmm.
We have been working together on and off for 10 years.
10 years, wow.
10 years, yep, 10 years. Now, how does that pay off? If they have a marketing question, their VP of sales texts me.
That's
hey,
great.
Dude, what's going on? Hey, we're thinking about this. Can you help us with this? How does that feel to them? Well, they know they have someone they can trust because I delivered on all my promises when I worked with them.
Right.
I'm not saying I didn't miss some deadlines. I'm not perfect. Right. But when I told them, you know, I said what we'd do and I did it. Well, now I'm a trusted advisor. So now not only do they trust me and we work together now almost 10 years. Now, every time a network asks for LinkedIn help, for marketing automation help, for sales help, for training, hey, I know a guy, and they don't even ask me. They just make the introduction. Well, heck, referrals without asking, that's great business.
Awesome, right.
Yeah,
right.
And that's because I connect with every person on their team. I give them a quick, you know, I share the LinkedIn articles I share on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook. They're helpful. I didn't write them all.
Right,
but they,
right.
When they got a new salesperson, that fundamental information is so valuable.
Oh,
so,
right.
You know, and then I keep in touch personally with the VP of sales. When they had a new baby, I was there.
Right.
Hey, buddy, congratulations. You got another girl. Holy cow, that's a lot of estrogen in that family. Congratulations, brother. Three girls and a wife. Holy cow.
Wow.
That's great. Congratulations. So stuff like that, right? So they bought a house and they expanded their location. I see press releases. I pay attention. And I share that because I'm genuinely excited for them.
That's great.
That's how it works.
Right. And look, we have a lot of our audience ranges from people in early in their careers, just getting started in their 20s. I know you're not a day over 25, right, Phil? I mean,
27. Yeah, no, 43. But thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, so both of us, right? We're both Gen Xers. Proud. I'm a very proud Gen Xer, right? There you go.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, we've been around the block once. And all we can say is that I once was also in my early 20s and have been selling for a long time. And you never know who you're going to run into 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, even 20 years later. And those, just your approach to building these relationships and sustaining these relationships is phenomenal and so critical to a long career. So that's great advice for the audience members that are really just getting started. So That's great. And that is your ultimate goal, right? These are long-term relationships, helping others and keeping those relationships, and it pays off in spades, right?
Every day. Absolutely.
Great. So Phil, we're going to wrap it on up here. The last question for you. So tell me what your favorite social network is for doing business. And we have a lot to choose from. So do you have a number one?
So number one is LinkedIn. It's not even close. LinkedIn is absolutely my favorite. It's my favorite because people actually talk about business. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like to talk business. My number one topic is business. I've got hundreds of books at home. I listen to hundreds of podcasts. Tons of my friends are authors. I've written books. I like to learn.
Right.
LinkedIn offers that. Not a lot of politics. Not a lot of whining. Not a lot of cat pictures. I like that. You know, LinkedIn is easily the number one. And with Microsoft's acquisition of LinkedIn, I think we're going to see a lot of growth from LinkedIn in the video market. If you look at the new settings, once you get the new interface, and I piggybacked on one of my friends, so I haven't seen it on my own, but I see it on hers. There's a setting that says videos on or off in the stream.
Yeah, buddy. Nice.
So you know that's coming.
Yes, that's awesome. I tell you what, you're right, Phil, because I've deviated a little bit from my LinkedIn. I've shared a similar passion for LinkedIn, and both of us, we know how effective it is. But I see Facebook on a tear, and Facebook is on a tear. Facebook ads are a really great deal. And I tell you, I've moved a little bit of my attention to Facebook, but it was very frustrating through this past election cycle. And you're right, LinkedIn is the place to focus and learn and do business. So I'm with you, Phil. I'm going to take your lead, and I'm kind of shift my attention back to LinkedIn and, you know, save Facebook for my personal endeavors.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I would just say focus on LinkedIn. And then if you can, change the connection channel and take them to Facebook, because ultimately you want to be a friend. Friends refer friends. That's okay, right? But start the relationship. If you're doing lead gen, if you're focusing on a company, go there. Remember, Facebook ads, you're not going to hit the VP of sales because you're not running an ad.
Right.
Your company is. Right. So if you're in sales, the reason that you're on Facebook is personal. The reason you, and by personal, I mean one-to-one, right? You might have that advocate, not the potential buyer, that you're friends with on Facebook in your company.
Right.
That's different.
Keep that there.
Keep that there. But remember, for circling people, right, for elevating that up, there's nothing better than LinkedIn. Nothing is close.
You're right. Great advice, Phil. That's great. And how does Twitter factor into this for you?
So if they're on Twitter, Twitter is a great tool. So I'll give you a secret here. Okay. Jeff, I don't tell anybody else this.
Okay, just between us. Okay.
Just between us.
Right.
Go look at their clout. Okay. And if they have a link to their Twitter or their Instagram, follow them there, because they're probably not even aware that they have a clout. Now, not everybody does, but remember, clout is nothing more than a way to egotistically see your score, if that's how you use it. But it's also a great way to say, oh, look at that. Jeff's got 7 channels and I only knew about his LinkedIn. Now I can check him out other places and maybe get some more insights that I didn't get anywhere else. So don't tell anybody, but clout is still useful. Just ignore the score.
Okay. All right. That is awesome. Because so often I literally just plug the name in the Google search bar, Joe Smith on LinkedIn, Joe Smith on Twitter, Joe Smith on Facebook. But you're saying just shortcut it through clout, K-L-O-U-T, right?
That's correct. Yep.
That is awesome. Phil, that's gold. That is gold. Jeez, how many, Phil, I feel I've benefited so much from this conversation. There's so many actionable items I can take away from our conversation today. This is great. And our audience greatly appreciates it as well. So, hey, you know, we are, I know you have a lot cooking, a lot of programs you're launching. You're busy as all get out. I appreciated the time you took with us today. Tell us where we can find you and what you're up to.
Sure. So, well, my course is almost done. It's about taking connections to conversions, and it'll be at connections, then the number 2, conversions.com. It'll be up there sometime in March of 2017. So whenever you're listening to this, if it's after March 2017, it'll be available for you. You can also then get a simplified social selling free course if you wanted to. That'll be up in a couple weeks as well. And that'll be up at simplifiedsocialselling.com. Nice. And if you really are just, hey, I use LinkedIn, but I don't know what to do every day, I've got a free ebook for you. You can go to socialsellingdailydozen.com and just put in your email address and get that. That's the easiest way to get like a lot of concentrated information from me. And if you want to connect, you know, I'd love to connect. Find me on LinkedIn. And here's what I want you to do. Send me a request that says, I heard you talking to Jeff Herman. Jeff's really smart. And I'd like to learn from you. Just send me a connection request. And like that, you know, something like that could be the title of the podcast, could be, hey, I heard a tip, whatever it is. But make the effort to connect. Always personalize those connections. Because when you do, after someone accepts that connection request, it shows up in your inbox so you can remember years later how you got connected.
Right, right. That is awesome. Now, we're going to wrap it up. I know you have to get on with your day, but Phil, it has been awesome to see you, awesome to catch up with you. Thank you so much for sharing all these great tips and nuggets of information. I know we're all going to really take this and apply these great recommendations immediately. So, Phil, this has been great. Thank you again.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, thanks.
Hey, isn't Phil a great guy, and wasn't that a lot of fun? I appreciate your time today. And please, if you like this podcast, love you to go to iTunes and leave a rating and review. And if you need anything or have any questions, just send me an email, jeff@publishorperish.fm. I look forward to hearing from you. And as always, I hope you think like a marketer and sell like an animal. Bye-bye. Battle in the mind to know that I'm divine, that I'm the mastermind in this day-to-day grind. Well, I'm an animal. I want my belly full. I will not go to my grave with this inside of me. Well, I'm an animal, and I can feel the pull. It's time to